Joining us today is John Stewart, the president of Emblem Pharmaceuticals. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Michael. And more importantly, thank you for the invitation to participate in your show.
We're very happy to have you on. So today we're going to focus on Emblem Corp, a licensed medical cannabis producer in Canada. John, can you tell us a little bit about Emblem, its three divisions, as well as some of the goals you have for Emblem Pharmaceuticals?
Sure, Michael. Emblem is one of the 30 licensed producers in Canada, and those are licensed by Health Canada to be able to cultivate various strains of cannabis and also sell those strains to patients in Canada in the dosage forms that are allowed by Health Canada at a given time, and that we will see progressing over the future years. Cannabis is, or Emblem Cannabis, is organized, as you asked, in three distinct divisions. The first division is our cultivation division, and that's headed by Max Zabit and our chief horticulturist, Stephen Dinka. Steve's got a long 10-year plus history in medical marijuana in Canada and was the original lead grower for a company called Prairie Plant Systems, which was the first producer licensed by Health Canada to supply the Canadian market. The goal of the cultivation division is to produce highest quality and consistent strains of cannabis, and those strains are the ones that we and others who've conducted research in this area believe are the most important for specific outcomes or specific indications, if we were to use a pharmaceutical term. The second division is the GrowWise Health division. This is our patient and medical education division. Because of the way the medical marijuana regulations are set up in Canada, there's not involvement of pharmacy per se, so there's certainly a gap in ability to give patients independent information on the appropriate strains and appropriate dosing. So we have a division mostly staffed with registered nurses who interact with the patients on helping them navigate the process of making the most appropriate strain selection and initiating dosing and doing close follow-up as patients are moving into medical marijuana therapy. And then lastly is the pharmaceutical division, and that's the one that I head. And, briefly, the goal of our division is to extract the cannabinoids from the various strains that we will be cultivating, and extract them in a way that what we've got in the cannabis oil, and that's what really comes out of the extraction process, is consistently and very closely parallels the cannabinoid profile in the original plant. And we want to do that to ensure that from one dose to another, the cannabinoid profile in the formulations is consistent, pretty much along the line of what you'd anticipate if you were taking a pharmaceutical preparation over taking one chronically. You may not be aware that currently the only formulations that are allowed to be sold by Health Canada are dried flower or bud and cannabis oil. Now, when I got involved in this business, when I met the individuals at Emblem, I spoke with them. They've all got a healthcare background, and we recognize that if you're trying to take a medication for a therapeutic purpose, smoking or vaporizing is just not a consistent or attractive or convenient way of going about it. So we decided, Mike, to make some substantial investments in producing what we could call traditional pharmaceutical-like dosage forms of cannabinoids. And that is and that is what I'm working on. And some of the ones that that we have under development are straightforward oral soft gelatin capsules. We are also looking at making long-acting or sustained-release capsules, and I have a lot of experience in that from my previous pharmaceutical company time, and other formulations that would be appropriate for example, in patients or for patients who are looking for a more rapid onset of action. In some cases, analgesia would be appropriate there. And in other cases, other indications, say, sleep disorders. So, look, I've gone on for quite some time here. Let me get back to you and see what other questions you might have about Emblem.
That's very interesting, John. I mean, you have a lot to tell, and it's an amazing story you guys have. Can you tell us about your pharmaceutical background a little bit and how you joined the Emblem team?
Sure. I have a 40-year career within the pharmaceutical industry, all of which was in a company by the name of Purdue Pharma. I joined Purdue Pharma in Toronto, so it'd be Purdue Pharma Canada in Toronto, back in the mid 70s. I spent some time with them in their marketing and sales groups, but I'm a scientist, a microbiology by education, and Purdue was doing some work in the antibiotic and anti-infective area, so I moved over and got involved with their clinical research organization. So that's the group that is associated with doing clinical trials of existing drugs and new drugs, primarily for the purpose of bringing additional data on their safety and efficacy and in some cases, ultimately winding up with a new drug application to either Health Canada or the FDA. I spent, I progressed through Purdue in Canada. I was the head of their R&D group there, their vice president of R&D, from the early 80s through to 1991, and was very, and myself and other members of our team were very closely associated with the development and registration and marketing of a number of long-acting formulations of existing drug substances that were really quite therapeutically beneficial. We were active in the respiratory business with theophylline products by the name of Phylocontin and subsequently Unifil. At about the same time, we made our first product and research into opioid analgesics. Our first approved product, and that was back in 1986, was long-acting morphine by the name of, which sold under the name of MS Contin, and it truly was an important therapeutic advance in Canada and worldwide. The product was in the United States as well and elsewhere. In 1991, I became president and CEO of Purdue Canada when my predecessor retired, and I ran that organization from 1991 through to 2007, and a number of other products we brought to market very successfully, numbers-wise, and people always track our performance, I think, by our sales, but those sales only come because your products are helping patients and the physicians that manage them. We moved the Canadian business from about $20 million back in the early 90s to about $330 million by 2007. And in 2007, I transferred to Purdue U.S. in Stamford, Connecticut, and I was president and CEO of that organization from 2007 through till the end of 2013 when I retired and really moved into, you know, what I'm doing right now, and that is a private investor in the biopharma space. And also I sit on a couple of boards of pharmaceutical and pharmaceutical-related companies. When I was looking for opportunities to invest, I'm still connected with the Toronto area, and a mutual friend of mine and the other principals of Emblem said that we should get together, and indeed I did. That was a couple of years ago now. I think in my earlier response, I said when I met the gentleman that because they had a healthcare background and I did, that the way we wanted to take the company was down a more traditional pharmaceutical-type formulation development. And we are, I mean, I think we really are the vanguard of that in Canada right now.
That's very interesting, John. With your pharmaceutical background, I'm very interested in your perspective on cannabis as a therapeutic agent.
And a very good question, because Purdue was keenly involved in the area of pain management, and one of the areas where medical marijuana is used, and in fact, it is the number one reason that patients report taking medical marijuana, and that's both in Canada and here in the United States, is for relief of pain. Now, I always recognize, I and the other scientists at Purdue always recognized that the cannabinoids were, you know, genuine therapeutic agents. And if we look back in what some of the pharmaceutical companies have done, there are in fact three different cannabinoid products that have been brought through the traditional FDA approach, full drug development approach, and licensed and sold as drugs here in the United States. The first was Sesamet by Lilly. That's a synthetic THC product. And that was used or approved and indicated for the treatment of chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. Shortly thereafter, Marinol, another synthetic cannabinoid formulation, was introduced to the market, and it was used for treatment of, for treatment of nausea and vomiting, and also, I believe, for appetite stimulation in patients with chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. And then more recently, approved only in Canada now, but in other European countries, not yet in the United States, it's a drug from GW Pharmaceuticals called Sativex. That is a specific extract of two strains of cannabis, and it is approved for treatment of spasticity and muscular rigidity in patients with multiple sclerosis. So, we've always known from the medical literature that the cannabinoids had a variety of meaningful therapeutic effects, and in fact, Purdue and several other pharma companies have invested and done research in molecules, not necessarily cannabinoids, but molecules that interact with various biochemical processes in the endocannabinoid system. And in fact, during my years at Purdue in the United States, we explored in some detail, right up through phase two, a class of compounds known as FAAH or FAW inhibitors. And indeed, we did see a positive signal, some evidence of efficacy in particular neuropathic pain, a significant problem, one that's not particularly particularly well-treated with available therapeutic agents. So we saw a positive, response in that. Unfortunately, not a, a significant enough difference between what we saw with that FA inhibitor and our positive controls, other drugs used for treatment of neuropathic pain, to suggest that it would be a major therapeutic advance. So we discontinued development of that particular molecule at phase two. I don't think that means that the cannabinoids are not going to be helpful in neuropathic pain. Indeed, they are. It was just that that molecule didn't work. So my background, my awareness of cannabinoids as therapeutic agents had been in existence for some time. I think there is some solid evidence and patient reports that that currently the whole cannabinoid profile of a particular strain is a better way to proceed right now, as opposed to synthetic individual cannabinoids. Although perhaps over the next 5 to 10 years, as we learn more about the many different cannabinoids, we will come to a more synthetic approach. But right now, it appears that the natural source is the way to proceed, and that's what we're doing. And tying together, if you like, our high quality cultivation with our pharmaceutical development to bring not only the right cannabinoid strain or content, if you like, to the formulation, but the formulations that are best suited for particular therapeutic objectives.
That's very interesting. It's a very diverse background you have, as you worked in both the U.S. and Canada. Can you please tell us about some of the major differences between those two markets?
For certain, when it comes to the medical marijuana or cannabinoid space, there are dramatic differences. I mean, here in the United States, the cannabinoids are still they're not scheduled on by the FDA. In other words, they're indicated as having no therapeutic purpose, and therefore they're rather illegal drugs. And on a federal basis, that creates a lot of difficulty for companies or for research. The very simple issues are not simple, but issues that come up, they're difficult to get past. If companies cannot operate across state lines, you cannot move cannabinoids from one state to another, you cannot do it legally. The way that the individual states that have medical marijuana laws, or the few that have recreational marijuana laws as well, they've each grown up within their own state, so they're different. In one state, for example, you'll have a certain set of indications for which cannabinoids could be prescribed. In another state, you'll have a different set of indications for which they can be prescribed. And the same goes with respect to the types of dosage forms that can be sold in those states. So, we really do have a patchwork in this country, and that patchwork gets in the way of a number of things, and I think the most important one that it gets in the way of is good coordinated research on cross-country research on the efficacy of the cannabinoids, how they can best be dosed, and what the overall safety and efficacy of these drugs is. Now, over in Canada, the cannabinoids are regulated by the federal government, by Health Canada. So, medical marijuana is legal in all 10 provinces because it's federally regulated. So what that has created is a much greater ability for meaningful companies to come in and operate across all the provinces without necessarily needing to have a physical grow location in each of those provinces, and to much more effectively be able to tie together the research and the medical community and the patient community, because the regulations in Ontario, for example, are the same as the regulations in British Columbia or Nova Scotia.
That's a lot of very important major differences between Canada and the United States. Now, I understand that Emblem Corp is set to go public in November. Can you tell us more about this as well as the opportunity for investors?
No, absolutely. And we've done private fundraisings, and we actually just completed a raise of $5 million that closed early September. We'd originally set out to just get to pick up about $3 million, but it was seriously overprescribed, and we moved up to five to satisfy some of our investors. We do have an IPO coming out in November of this year. It's our symbol will be EMC. It's going to trade on the TSX Venture Exchange. We haven't priced it yet. It's likely to be somewhere between a dollar and $1.25 per share. And I don't lead the IPO side of this. I'm much more on the science and the product development side. But if anybody wanted any more information on this, they could contact our director of investor relations, a gentleman by the name of Danny Brody, and his phone number, if anyone was interested, is 647-255-8106, and Danny is in our Toronto head business office.
Thank you very much, John. Again, our guest today is John Stewart, the president of Emblem Pharmaceuticals. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Michael. Much appreciated.
Have a great day.